Welcome to Canadian Politique. I'm Cameron Bishop.
I'm Leanne Goodman.
And today on the pod, well, we are talking about Donald Trump's concentration camps for kids, Andrew Scheer's lies, Melania's jacket, and stories of the week. But a little bit of a programming note. We were off last week to accommodate some vacations, Leanne and Mike, and I'm away next week at the Aspen Ideas Festival, but we will be back on Thursday, July the 5th, with an interview with Ted Alden, a senior fellow at the U.S. Council on Foreign Affairs. Leanne, how was your trip to the wilderness?
It was 3 days too long.
Oh.
By day four, it was like, oh my God, I'm going to go crazy. Like I'm only using my voice to communicate with my dog.
It was like deliverance. You didn't see anybody like squealing like pigs and thrown over like a big fallen tree.
No. But it was like, you know, pitch black at 9 o'clock and with no electricity. So I literally just went to bed every night at 9 o'clock and got up at 5:30 in the morning.
And it was just
so
you?
It was fun. Just me and my dog. My son and his girlfriend came the last couple of days. But
and did they go to bed at 9 too? Or did they bring candles?
No, we lit a big fire and stayed up the two special nights.
Wow, that's very nice. Yeah. I'm not much of a camper. I know that might shock a lot of people because
me neither.
I'm a real Grizzly Adams over here, but in my day-to-day Monday to Friday life. But yeah, no, I can't. I can't do it.
No, I wouldn't do it again. That's it for me.
All right. Well, let's talk about Donald Trump hating children. So it's consumed the world for the last week. Donald Trump's policy of separating kids from their parents at the U.S. border with Mexico when the latter, with their kids in tow, seek asylum and a better life in America. You know, I've lived for four decades now, and I never once for a minute thought I'd live to see the day where the president of the United States would open what are, in essence, modern-day concentration camps for kids. And that's exactly what they are, because kids as young as 8 months are being ripped away from their moms and dads and put in cages in old buildings that used to help house the neighborhood Walmart. But finally, faced with unrelenting media coverage, not to mention criticism from the feckless pussies in the GOP who finally grew a pair, Trump relented and signed an executive order mandating that children not be separated from their families. But apparently, according to GOP sources, the Homeland Security Secretary, Kristen Nielsen, said that the policy will be reinvigorated or rebirthed once the outrage has died down. So they're not quite done with this yet. And before we start chatting about it, you know, I want to be clear. Despite Trump's bullshit assurances to the contrary, the women and men coming across the U.S. border with Mexico are not members of MS-13. They are not gang members, murderers, rapists, drug pushers. No, most of these people are under immense persecution from those very groups in their home country and are fleeing to America for safety. This is 1930s style bullshit, folks. We saw it. It's what happened to a lot of good people around the world in the 30s under Hitler's regime. And it sounds a little bit, you know, maybe I'm blowing this up, but I don't think we are. And I don't think I am, because we're living this. And I guess the question is, what comes next? U.S. officials said on Friday that nearly 2,400 children were separated from their parents or accompanying adults between mid-April and the end of May as the administration implements its stricter border enforcement policies. But before we start, let's just a few clips. I want everybody to hear what's going on in these facilities. So let that burn into your soul a little bit, folks, and then ask yourself what you can do. And if you're in the U.S., it involves getting rid of Donald Trump in 2020, and it involves putting a check on him in 2018 with a Democratic Congress. But Leanne, I don't know about you. You're a mom. I don't have any kids. But that just rips my heart out.
Yeah, I don't think you need to have kids. It's appalling. And, you know, the conversation, we had a story from a famous Nazi scholar who said, you know, people are saying this is how Nazism started, but in actual fact, we're two steps ahead of where, of how it started. Like, he's jumped into, you know, he's, it's not the beginnings of how Nazism started. He's already moved beyond that. So it's disgusting. You don't have to be a parent to find it disgusting. And even with this bullshit, okay, I'm not going to do it anymore. They're still not saying or even committing to reuniting the kids that are already in the system with their parents. They've lost track of where the parents are. And now there's allegations of some of these kids have been drugged, sedated, abused in a couple of the facilities. So not only are we detaining them, tearing them from their parents, but apparently they were abusing them once they're in these facilities. So it's a complete humanitarian crisis, regardless of this supposed caving the other day. I don't believe it at all. I'm trying to figure out, and I've been trying to get a story at the conversation about where are the courts on this? Like, where's the United Nations? Why? You know what I mean? Like, the courts were in play pretty quickly on the Muslim travel ban, and that was also done by executive order. I'm not quite sure where the courts are on this and why there hasn't been some sort of injunction, not just to stop it, but to reunite the kids in the system with their parents. Like, I'm a bit perplexed. I'm also perplexed why people weren't rioting in the streets over this. Because to me, it's on, like you said, I don't recall anything like this. Thankfully, Cameron, you and I grew up in an age where the two world wars were behind us. And I only vaguely remember the Vietnam War. But in the Western world, I can't recall ever seeing anything like this in my lifetime in an industrialized, powerful, prosperous nation doing this to innocent children of those less fortunate. It's just appalling. I cried every day, every day. This is the first time that it has really felt absolutely dreadful to me and like something really bad is on the horizon if it doesn't. If these people don't get tossed out, like, you know, like it's the worst.
Yeah. And you asked where the UN was. Well, the High Commissioner of the UN High Commission for Human Rights, Zayed Riyad Al Hussein, said in Geneva on Monday, quote, "The thought that any state would seek to deter parents by afflicting such abuse on children is unconscionable. I call on the United States to immediately end the practice of forcible separation of these children." So the UN has condemned them, but I don't know what else more they could do. Laura Bush, by the way, I think everybody needs to shout out, wrote a scathing editorial. Yep. Of course, Laura Bush is the former First Lady of the United States, married to President George W. Bush. And she says, "I live in a border state. I appreciate the need to enforce and protect our international boundaries, but this zero tolerance policy is cruel. It is immoral and it breaks my heart." She was then joined by the other three former first ladies, Rosalind Carter, Michelle Obama, and Hillary Clinton, in condemning this as well. So there are folks across the aisle and it transcends politics. I think people are fairly horrified. But then, of course, you have people like Jeff Sessions, and let's hear that.
I thought I'd take a little bit of digression here to discuss some concerns raised by our church friends about separation of families. Many of the criticisms raised in recent days are not fair, not logical, and some are contrary to plain law. First, illegal entry into the United States is a crime. It should be, it must be, if you're going to have a legal system and have any limits whatsoever. Persons who violate the law of our nation are subject to prosecution. If you violate the law, you subject yourself to prosecution. And I would cite you to the Apostle Paul and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the laws of the government, because God has ordained the government for his purposes. Orderly and lawful processes are good in themselves. Consistent, fair application of law is in itself a good and moral thing, and that protects the weak. It protects the lawful.
Fuck you, Jeff Sessions. Fuck you. You know, like, where do these fuckers
also,
get
they're
off?
They're asylum seekers, most of them. So it's not even that they're illegally entering the United States. They're seeking asylum, which is not illegal. So the whole premise of his argument is bullshit anyway.
Yeah, but, you know, what kind of administration? You know, Hillary Clinton had a great quote this week, and I'm paraphrasing, when after Sessions, and then Sarah Porkaby Sanders over there says she tries to cite the Bible for why they're doing things. And Hillary said, Jesus said, let the children come to me. He didn't say, let the children suffer. So I really, yeah, God ordains governments. Fine. I can take that premise that he's saying. But the reality is I don't remember ever reading anywhere in the Bible where Jesus turned his back on kids or left them locked away in a cage.
Not.
Fuck these people.
Of course not. There's... But this guy's a white supremacist, evil little Keebler fuckface himself. Honestly, though, the way they contort themselves to try to blame Obama too drives me nuts. Like, it wasn't the same thing under Obama, actually. It was a completely different situation. And, you know, you can't, this tribalism, this false equivalency that's broken out, that there's tribalism and that's the big problem. And that goes on both sides. That's bullshit, because I remember covering Obama and a lot of progressives turned against Obama. They didn't like him on drones. They thought he didn't push hard enough for universal health care. Like, Obama came in for a lot of criticism from people in his base. These fuckers, you can't, there's nothing that Trump can do that they will not try to twist around as being justified. Like, if you can justify this and you feel good doing it by claiming that somehow it was Obama's fault, what does it matter anyway whose fault is it? It has to stop, well, right?
It wasn't Obama's fault. This is a policy that this administration has brought forward.
I know.
He's trying to say that it was a legislative fix that needed to be done by
bullshit.
Congress. It's all lies. But here he is when he signed his executive order temporarily ending it.
We're signing an executive order I consider to be a very important executive order. It's about keeping families together. I didn't like the sight or the feeling of families being separated.
Bullshit. He loved it. He loved it.
Well, also, I love that I can't do anything by executive order. Oh, guess what? Here I am doing something by
executive
order.
Yeah, 48 hours later.
Liars.
He's a liar. And Stephen Miller, the fucking fascist from Santa Monica, California, that's that white supremacist the bald guy, absolute
Monty
white.
Monty Burns look-alike, young Monty Burns.
And he talks kind of like this, you know, like a valley
girl.
And
his parents, the sad story about that guy is his parents are liberal Democrats, so imagine how they feel.
Yeah, well, he cooked this policy up by all accounts. I know that there's been some GOP members of Congress that said that Stephen Miller should be fired. He won't be fired. I mean, everything that comes out of Trump's mouth and Twitter feed, it looks like it's been written when it deals with immigration or migration or asylum or what have you, has all been written by Stephen Miller. And Stephen Miller's view of immigration is 1920s style, which is basically nil. Nothing. Zero. Yep. They don't want immigrants.
Only white people.
Our prime minister, of
course.
They
want Norwegians.
Yeah. Yeah. They want Norwegians. Norwegians aren't interested in coming to your shithole country, America. How does that feel? It is a shithole country. But our prime minister this week condemned the United States, saying that it's terrible what's going on south of the border. The prime minister of the UK, Theresa May, also condemned it. I mean, folks around the world have been condemning this.
The king of the Netherlands apparently tweeted out at him that he's going to end up in the international court in The Hague for what he's doing.
He should. He should. This
king of the Netherlands.
This is absolutely deplorable. And you know what? Good for you, Hillary Clinton. There is a basket of deplorables out there. But you know what?
Yeah.
It's not just a minority fringe of the Republican Party. The deplorables are the entire Republican Party right now. And I mean, there was a poll that came out. I think it was Quinnipiac or however the hell you say it. 55% of Republicans supported this policy. 55% of Republicans supported this policy of ripping kids away from their parents.
Although I did read some stats, somebody did a dive into suburban white women, because that's they pushed Trump over the edge, right, in the last election, and it's very unpopular among them. So he may have lost the group or be losing the group. You know, mothers, soccer moms who voted for him, he may be losing them.
Well, I hope it was worth it. I hope it was worth it, America, when you threw yourself in for Donald Trump. I hope you know what? You're right, Leanne. It is very scary. He is two steps ahead of of Nazism.
Where they started.
I don't know where this ends, but it's not good. And when you have people like Fox and Friends, which is state-run media, let's face it, because they basically give him a blowjob every morning or tell him what he wants to hear, and then he goes and farts it out of his mouth. But even today, they were on the hosts of Fox and Friends in the morning there was saying, well, these aren't our children, as if that is any sort of excuse for what
has gone
on.
They're not American. They don't matter. Also, this is a pro-life power party, which I find particularly hilarious.
Oh, yes, that's
don't
right.
Get no abortions allowed, but once they're out of the womb, and if they're brown, fuck them. We don't care. It's only when they're in the womb, the sweet and innocent babies in the womb, that we are going to insist that women do not have any control over their own bodies, and those babies must be brought into the world. But God forbid that mother should then try to go to another country to find a better life for that baby. Fuck that baby.
Yep, that's exactly
that
what
baby
it is.
Sit in a cage and cry for its mother. It's just disgusting. You know, the hypocrisy.
It's always shocked me that these pro-lifers, exactly like you said, they'll bang every drum, they'll protest every abortion clinic, all this kind of stuff to try and keep a child or a fetus alive, and then they won't provide it health care. They won't do anything to lift their parents out of poverty. It's like, well, here you are.
They hate the parents.
They hate the parents. Yeah, they're sinners. They're sinners because they brought a child into the world, and most of them, you know, they're either unwed or something's happened, or it's because of a rape, and immediately they're sinners and the children are bastards. So really, at the end of the day, they don't give a shit. I mean, I just...
No, they don't.
And let's talk really quick, too, about Melania's coat. So yesterday...
Okay, I have some theories on that.
Yesterday, as she was coming or going to Texas to go to the border states, because fat fuck Donald Trump is too much of a coward to go down and see the migrant children himself, Melania went to Texas. 88 degrees yesterday in Washington when she left, walked up the stairs of the, I guess, FLOTUS 1 or whatever the hell the plane is called, and got on. And the back of her jacket, it's a $39 jacket from Zara. And it says, I really don't care, do you? And she wore it getting on the plane in Washington, and she wore it getting on the plane when she left Texas. Can we all just kind of stop this idea that Melania Trump is some sort of an angel and we should all feel sorry for her? Fuck her too. You know what? Fuck all of them. Fuck her and her stupid coat. She's as evil and nasty as that bastard she married.
Or is she? Or is it another message? Is it her? Because, look, she's not stupid as much as she's a gold digger. She apparently is not stupid. She hates him. She wanted out of the marriage when he won the presidency. She disappeared for 2 weeks for some mysterious reason that no one understands. She does not want him to win again, apparently. She wants it to be over. She wants out. Is she, in a very clever way, creating a situation where they look even worse so that she's really putting the boots to him? Like, I'm not convinced. Somebody bought her that jacket. She knew what she was doing. She doesn't strike me, and never has before struck me, as an unfeeling human being. Like, even her comments at that shelter or that facility where she went yesterday, you could see she was emotional, and she was saying that these kids need to get back with their parents. So is that what she's doing, or is she fucking him? Is she putting the boots to him, which is what I really want to believe, because you keep hearing that she's really pissed off about this Stormy Daniels stuff and that she wants out. Makes sense to me.
I don't know. I have a hard time believing that this was not a message. Well, maybe, I don't know. Maybe you're right.
I think it was a message. I think the message is, we're assholes. Do not vote for us. Please free me from my prison. That's what I think.
She'd have more freedom if she was in one of those cages with the kids.
Or just like leave. That, leave them.
Yeah, like that's the other thing. If you're so fucking miserable, then why don't you leave?
Well, I think that whole disappearing 2 weeks thing, I think that's it's going to come out that that was what was going on. It was all the timing after Stormy Daniels was too weird. There's some other big story about to break, apparently, that he fathered a kid with somebody else after he was married to her, some Playboy bunny, and some other guy is standing in for him. So she knows more than we know. The disappearance came strangely, and we'd never heard of any sort of physical ailments, right? She's a very healthy woman by all appearances. She disappears for 2 weeks. I think they convinced her she had to stay. She stays, and this is her little way of saying, fuck you, Trumps, I'm out of here. Just my theory. I want to believe that she would do that to him.
Yeah. I'd like to believe that too, but
me.
I just...
Like, if you ever read anything about her, or even, you know, Vanity Fair has some insider who talks about her and how she's liking the White House. In short, she's hating it. She hates him, and she wants out. So...
Well, he said on Twitter yesterday that the reason she wore the jacket was actually a protest against the fake media because
Which
she knows,
bullshit.
Yeah, the fake news. She's tired of it. She's figured them out. But the thing is, I don't know who to believe. I just think they're all wretched.
That's the problem with this clan. Like, they're just the worst people. How about Ivanka?
Yeah.
Ivanka, daddy, you really have to change this policy because the pictures don't look good.
Yeah.
And tweeting out pictures of herself cuddling her little children right in the midst of it all.
I know. She is. I mean, she, there was that Saturday Night Live commercial, remember, where she was, and they said she was complicit. The scent was called complicit. That's you, Ivanka Trump. You're a piece of crap. Like, you, honestly, I just.
What bugs me about
this is
her,
just a rant today, least, folks, because I'm
at least
pissed off.
He lays himself bare for being the horrible human being that he is. She tries to pretend she's something better.
Well, she's not.
And, you know, you got to read the GQ profile of Don Jr. It's really good. And you kind of wish he'd just go rogue, because that Don Jr. has basically been emotionally and even physically abused by his father for most of his life. Like, since he came out of the womb, Donald said to Ivana, don't name him Donald, because what if he turns out to be a loser? This is about his firstborn kid.
Well, he did.
And he's been treating him. Well, he's been treating him like he's a loser and just emotionally abusing that guy since he came out of the womb, which explains the shooting of the animals, right? Like,
oh,
he's acting out. It's a really fascinating piece. And you see that this whole family is fucked up. And they don't give a shit about their own children, never mind other people's children.
No, exactly. You know what I don't understand, though?
And
I've said this many times. I don't understand why anybody sleeps with this man, especially unprotected. Like,
the poor kids, though. You hear those kids crying. And this, I will say, as a mother, when you hear kids crying, you have this visceral thing where you just want to pick that baby up and comfort it. And just knowing, like, there's nobody doing that. It's so cruel. They didn't have anybody in there. It was teenagers taking care of the babies, like detained teens trying to deal with the crying babies for a while.
Yeah.
Until they found the tender age shelters.
It's
just disgusting.
It is disgusting, but that is America in 2018. So for those of you
Let's
that are really, opposed to this, and I don't know anybody that isn't, except of course for Trump's base, which are knuckle draggers, racists, and inbreds. Go to moveon.org. There is going to be a protest, organized protest throughout the United States over the course of the next, June the 30th, I think it is. So they're pulling everything together over the next few days, and then this will be launched at a good clip, and hopefully there will be a number of people, you know, coast to coast in the United States in every city protesting this administration. But the best protest, folks, is if you register to vote. So be sure to do that. Go to swingleft.org, register to vote in the primaries. Check out the different swing states that are available there so that you are able to hopefully target your vote appropriately. Hopefully it's one of the areas where you live. But if you want to just have your voice heard, be calling your congressman, Republican, Democrat, your senators as well, and make damn sure that this kind of crap doesn't keep happening. Because if you're willing to cede your country to this man, then your country wasn't worth a damn to begin with. So let's talk about here at home. So normally...
with our wonderful country now.
Yeah, our cheap ass, small town cheap, bullshit country. So here at home, So this would normally be something I'd categorize on the lighter side.
We're not putting children in concentration camps, though.
Yet. But, you know, the conservatives aren't in power right now. So, you know, we'll see. And can I just say a little shout out to Michelle Rempel? Notably, she's been quite quiet of late. But in May, she was tweeting about how the United States, May 2018, the United States, Michelle Rempel, member of parliament from Calgary, conservative, immigration critic, wanted to applaud the United States because of their amazing asylum seeker system, or their system for asylum seeker. Thanks, Michelle. Great work. And I and your silence.
Has
on
anybody
this,
retweeted that lately?
Yeah, it was retweeted the other day. Of course, she hasn't said shit all anything about what's been going on down in the U.S. But don't, like, if you look at the crap that's coming out of the, some of the mouths of conservatives now about refugees coming into Canada, don't think that they wouldn't do the exact same thing. There's a clip of Jason Kenney talking about children being held in detention centers where there's like barbed wire and fences outside. This is exactly their playbook. This is that rotten nativism that sets in and that destroys a country. It starts, it's like root rot. It starts and then eventually it'll kill the whole tree unless somebody gets in there and rips it out or treats it. And
we did it with residential schools. We did it with Aboriginal Indigenous kids, and they were still paying the price, and they're still paying the terrible legacy of residential schools. We're not immune to it. We've done it in our country.
Well, and kids are still being ripped away from Indigenous parents. I mean, we're not immune to it, but it would be nice if we just we need to stop this crap that we can't welcome people into our country. That look different, are different, or are fleeing for a certain reasons. Like, again, you wrote it, or it was in the conversation, on the conversation, but it's less than 1% of people that are coming into Canada as refugees or asylum seekers, or if you want to call them illegal immigrants, but I don't, because that is, there is no human that is illegal, in my mind. But these individuals, less than 1% of them that are crossing are criminals. And yet, here we are, we're treating them the way, and I don't want to make light of it or equate, you know, too closely, but what's the difference here between what went on at, you know, in terms of piling kids into and their parents in the Second World War into train cars and shipping them down the track to Auschwitz or wherever else? It's just horrific. And when I see the conservatives trying this kind of shit up here in Canada, they just won a by-election in Quebec where it's reported that, well, first of all, we know that they had support from the separatists in Quebec, the nationalists. Former Bloc Québécois leader Michel Gauthier is now a conservative, campaigned for the successful conservative candidate there who took over 50% of the vote. Now, that candidate was quite popular, but irrespective. And white nationalists. You know, this is a toxic brew. And if conservatives are the natural opposition party that every so often gets in, we got to do better than this, because otherwise we're going to have the same shit going on in Canada that's going on south of the border. And I, you know, Andrew Scheer, he looks like a fucking garden gnome, but he's got some messed up crap that's going on in his party, and he's harnessing scabs, essentially, scabs of nationalism, separatism, white supremacy, and it's boiling together, and it's not a good situation that we're headed for. But on the lighter side, Scheer, again, of course, had won this by-election in Quebec. The Liberals had taken that seat. This was this past week. Had taken the seat with, I think, around 31% of the vote last time. Conservatives had come fourth there. Now they take this seat in Quebec, and they got over 50%. But that's not what we should be talking about, because Andrew Scheer's on a roll. And that roll means that he can now trash the Prime Minister for installing a swing set for his kids at Harrington Lake. So Andrew Scheer said the PM had billed taxpayers $7,500 for this swing set. The National Capital Commission, which is responsible for the official residences, said the Prime Minister actually paid for the swing set and that the National Capital Commission installed it at a cost of $1,800. Scheer then dumped on the Prime Minister because the NCC spent $28,000 on grooming ski trails around Harrington Lake, built a new deck and dock for $24,000, purchased porch and sun umbrellas for $13,000, and a new golf cart for Harrington Lake at the cost of $5,000. Just as a reminder, first of all, these are not the prime minister's personal homes. He doesn't make the choice of what needs to be bought or what doesn't, except in the case where he wanted a swing set for his fucking kids. Like, are we that small town cheap and petty that we can't allow the prime minister to have a swing set purchased for his kid? Like, Andrew Scheer, oh, makes
it's
me so mad.
And stupid, it's stupid because who does it, who, how do you expand your base by going after Trudeau on petty, stupid shit like that? You got enough to go after Trudeau on, right?
That's right.
But a swing set for his kids? Like, do you think that's going to earn you some more voters? Do you think somebody who's a liberal voter is going to say, yeah, $28,000 or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Wow.
$24,000 on a porch that's going to be used by not only this prime minister, but the next one and a couple more after that. But yes, it's all Trudeau. It's all Trudeau just pissing money away. Give me a break. This is the kind of pettiness that has allowed the prime minister's official residence to become a cesspool of cat pee, asbestos, and mold. The governor general, I just found out this yesterday, due to renovations, has had to be housed elsewhere since her installation. That's 7 months that she's not lived at Rideau Hall. The prime minister is squatting in what used to be the residence of the secretary to the governor general, and Rideau Gate, which is where we host foreign dignitaries here in Ottawa, has had a number of their events moved off premises because the NCC needs to do necessary repairs. And after the prime minister's place, whatever, whether we tore it down, blow it up, or, you know, get a priest in there to exercise it, they have to go to Stornoway and boot the opposition leader out and do repairs there. Folks, our official residences are shitholes. They are not party palaces. They are not places of fanciness. Trust me, I've been in them. They're shitholes. And we need to do better as a country. If we're going to finger poke at the prime minister for buying a fucking swing set, is it any wonder that the official residences are in the state that they are in?
None whatsoever.
Good.
Bullshit.
It is bullshit. I do want to play something for you. I want you to hear a true hero, and that is Democratic Congressman John Lewis, who is one of the ones who was a freedom rider. He was one of the ones who marched in Selma as a civil rights leader with Dr. Martin Luther King. He is literally
beaten to death.
Yeah, got his head cracked in really bad by police who attacked. He's a civil rights lion, legend, whatever you want to call him. But I want you to hear what he said today, or this past week, rather, on the steps of the U.S. Capitol, because there still are heroes in our midst, folks.
Some of you know, when I was growing up in rural Alabama, the son of a sharecropper, I saw those signs that said white men, white women, white waiting, color waiting. But I was inspired by Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King Jr., and I got in the way. I got in trouble, good trouble, necessary trouble. And I said to all of the young people, to all of the children, we are getting in good trouble to set people free. We can do it. If we fail to do it, history will not be kind to us. This is going on too long, and it must stop. And it must stop now, not tomorrow, but now. Now is the time to do what is right, what is fair, and what is just. Please tell me whatever you want me to do.
Thank you.
I will go to the borders. I get arrested again. You know, if necessary, I'm prepared to go to jail. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
He is such a remarkable man, John Lewis. And, you know, I look at what's going on around the world right now and when we're begging for heroes, but we still have heroes. And John Lewis is a hero. And I wish we could all be a little bit more like John Lewis. And I wish we had politicians that were willing to go on the record the way he is.
Have you noticed Stormy Daniels? I know we keep coming back to this story we can't seem to stop. But have you noticed Stormy Daniels' lawyer is now talking to whistleblowers inside the ICE and is tweeting that the stories that he's hearing are unbelievable and it's outrageous and it's going to be a huge, huge thing that will bring down this administration. Like, anyway, so, you know, it's easy to be angry at Americans because they elected this guy, but the thing to remember too is it's Americans that are actually fighting hard and outraged and trying to stop it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not all dumb deplorables.
Well, a lot of them are, unfortunately. And again, I think I said this last week. You know what? It's not only the people that voted for him. I mean, he lost the popular vote. He won the Electoral College. That's fine, although I still think that there was Russian fucking around with the voter totals or vote totals. Mm-hmm. But the 43% of Americans or 44% or whatever it was that didn't think it was worth their time to vote. Well,
yes, no, I know.
Fuck you too, guys, because you basically tacitly said that you're okay with this. So well done, America. Well done. Anyway.
But that's also why they should ban polls in the week before elections, because I talked to a lot of people who just assume she had it in the bag because the polls are telling them that she had it in the bag. Anyway, it's a whole other story. Go on.
Stories of the week.
What
Leanne.
Are we on now?
Stories of the week.
Okay, you know, I decided that I should go with something happy because it's been such a goddamn depressing week, and I've spent too many hours weeping and raging and thinking, how can I get to the United States and take up arms and march on the White House? But I found this hilarious story about the municipal officials in Melbourne, Australia, have given trees email addresses. So if there's a problem, like if a branch falls down, you can email them the tree, and some city official somewhere will see it, and then they'll go deal with the tree. The tree's dying, a branch has come down, whatever it is. But as it turns out, instead of people sending, you know, reports about problems, they're sending love letters to the trees. Here is the best one. My dearest Olmus, which is a type of tree. As I was leaving St. Mary's College today, I was struck not by a branch, but by your radiant beauty. You must get these messages all the time. You're such an attractive tree. Apparently all of them are things like that. I love you. You deserve to be known by more than just a number. I love you always and forever. All about what beautiful trees they are. I thought, that's sweet. We need something happy. I've been watching a lot of cat videos, and I've been rewatching the first season of Flight of the Conchords, which is a good way to get yourself out of a dark, depressive cave, because it's just so bleak, and it just feels like something awful is about to happen, like we're on the brink of civil war, and that The Handmaid's Tale is just a fucking documentary.
It really is.
And we're heading there.
It really is.
It really feels terrifying right now, I find. And imagine living there. And I have lots of good friends living there who are absolutely, like, they're struggling with psychological problems now because of him. They're having nightmares. They're certain that the police are coming to tear their friends back to, you know, even though they're there legally, they're nervous for their friends who weren't born there. Like, it's terrifying to be living there right now. So I feel for you, American friends. But maybe let's email some trees.
Email some trees. I love it. That would give it. Oh, I bet you that tree got a Woody. I think I'm so funny.
Hung like a tree trunk.
He's hung. That's a big trunk. God, nice piece of bark. Holy crap. Yeah, but then, like, does that sexualize a tree too much? Like, if you say it has squirrels, is that, like, akin to crabs?
I don't know, but I do. I am a person who falls in love with trees. Like, I have about a top 10 list of trees in my life that if they ever get cut down, I will be very upset. So I can relate.
Well, I wish my story was happier.
No, God.
It's not. We're going to go overseas to Italy, where Italy's new interior minister, Matteo Salvini, has proposed and wants to carry out a census of its Roma population in Italy. He says that if the left had proposed such a census, this would not be considered racist. He has been widely decried from people who see parallels between the various laws that were approved during the fascist regime of Benito Mussolini. And here he is wanting to do a census of a minority population in Italy. You say that you're worried about things that are coming down the path that are scary or frightening, or you worry about things that may happen that aren't good. Well, it's happening. And I just don't understand what age we're living in here. Where, how can we be so far advanced and yet these idiots continue to get into power and they're just so fundamentally dangerous?
They appeal to the scared, fearful, dumb people, I guess. I guess that's the only way to explain it. Actually, speaking of that, though, I read something on Twitter today, and I never got a chance to go explore further, that apparently there were customs agents on the interstate coming south, that goes south through Maine, pulling people out to the side of the road and asking them for proof of citizenship.
Yes, on the I-95 southbound
like
from
what
Maine.
What country are you from? Yeah, like what's happening? What, really? Like, we're pulling people. It's just, these are the things that our grandparents told us about, right?
Yeah.
And you sort of got sick of hearing about it after a while. It's like, okay, you survived the two great wars or whatever it is. Okay, yes, we're lucky that you fought for our freedom. I've never, been dismissive of that, but because you never witnessed it or saw it, you didn't have the same visceral emotion about it. And now we're seeing it. And who would have thought? Like, who would have thought in 2018 we've gone 50, 60 years backwards?
And, the real danger, of course, and I hate to say this, is that technology being what it is, it means, everything from real fake news or fake news or whatever the hell it is, can spread like wildfire. You can organize a lot quicker. You can spread falsehoods and innuendos quite easy. You can foment fear against one group or another or multiple groups. Technology has been our boon, but I fear sometimes it could be our end.
Yeah.
But on that happy note, I'm off to Aspen next week. And guess who is one of the speakers? Jim Comey.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
I have a few questions for Jim. That IG report that came out, give me a break. The IG report where he's even said, he's not only insubordinate, but he even used personal emails. Or personal email accounts for
investigating her for using her personal email.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim.
I know.
Thanks. Well done. And he says
you saw that she tweeted out, butter emails.
I know. I love Hillary Clinton. I wonder if
I love that too, but of course she gets criticized. Why doesn't she just shut up? She should just shut up. And I go, piss off.
Yeah. You know what? Hillary Clinton's supposed to shut up and get back to her knitting or however that phrase goes. But Mitt Romney can run for Senate, and Bernie Sanders can muse about 79 being 79 and running again for president. But Hillary Clinton, the first female candidate to hold a major party's nomination, former Secretary of State, former First Lady, very successful lawyer and leader on so many issues of social justice. She should shut her mouth and get back to knitting.
Yeah. We don't want to hear from you anymore, old lady.
No.
But that's how it is for women.
But I will.
You become invisible when you get past a certain age. Physically, you become invisible. Nobody looks at you. Nobody pays any attention. No, it hasn't happened to me, of course, because I still get frequently confused with a supermodel. But, you become invisible and people just want you to shut up.
Yeah. And it's the same kind of syndrome that goes on in Hollywood, right? You hear a lot of women say that after they get to a certain age, they can't get any roles anymore, that everything just kind of dries right up. I guess it's the same thing in politics, sadly. Oh, by the way, I need to do a quick shout out before we go. I'm just going to say it. Danielle Shane. That's all I need to say. It's one of our listeners. They asked for a shout out. So I thought I'd throw it out there. So I think that to end today, we found the clip. We found Ivanka complicit from Saturday Night Live. So that's how we're going to close the show, because she really is complicit. And she could put a stop to all of this, well, either by selling her dad out to Bob Mueller, or she could just fucking tell him to stop. So, Leanne, have a great week.
I will. It's nice talking to you again. Let's talk to you July 5th.
It was cathartic, right, Leanne?
It was, I might have to go drown my sorrows in a bottle of gin a bit early this weekend, but yes, it was cathartic.
Good. All right. Have a good week. Good talk to you on the 5th.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Every man knows her name. Every woman knows her face. When she walks into a room, all eyes are on her. She's Ivanka. And a woman like her deserves a fragrance all her own. A scent made just for her. Because she's beautiful. She's powerful. She's complicit. She's a woman who knows what she wants. And knows what she's doing. Complicit. She doesn't crave the spotlight, but we see her. Oh, how we see her. Complicit. A feminist. An advocate. A champion for women. But, like, how? She's loyal, devoted, but probably should have bounced after the whole Access Hollywood bus thing. Oh, well. Also, I bet when she watches Titanic, she thinks she's Rose. Sorry, girl, you're Billy Zane. Complicit. The fragrance for the woman who could stop all this, but won't.
So that's the clip. Ivanka, that goes out to you. Everybody have a great week. Week in a bit, I guess. And I will talk with you on the 5th.